say ain't no good, and I'm crazy as a loon. Cause I shave my head in the morning, and pick guitar in the afternoon. Just like old Chief and Charlie, I like to lay around in the shade. Well, I ain't got no money, but you better believe I got it made. Cause I ain't asking nobody for nothing if I can't get it on my own. If you don't like the way I'm living, just leave this bald-headed country boy alone.
Man, we was playing down there, but then they got on edibles and they left us. I'll shut up now.
Okay. If y'all need a beer or anything while we're doing it, just let somebody know. All right. One. I'm actually open. Thank you. What's up, folks? Thank y'all for tuning into the Josh Terry Podcast. We're in Nashville. I'm very excited about the show today. I don't get excited a lot, but one of the guys that I absolutely adore in country music, he's my next tattoo that I'm getting, actually, is Johnny Paycheck, and I've got his son, John Paycheck, with me today. You're probably going to have to pull that mic.
I'll get up on here.
Yeah, there you go. thank you for coming, man, and hanging out. This is really cool for me and the boys.
Yeah, man, I'm just glad to be here. Man. Hanging out in Nashville, heck yeah.
What did you come to town for in the first place?
Well, my buddy, Peanut, he's the driver for Gene Watson. He was like, hey man, we're gonna be in Nashville, gonna be on the Opry. Why don't you come out and hang out? I was like, sure, man, I'll come out. I'd love to. And it'd been a while since I'd been back backstage and everything with the Opry. And I was like, man, kind of like to see, you know, how they've changed it. Been a while when I say that, because it was the flood where they ended up gutting everything out of the back and everything,
yeah,
and putting in all new dressing rooms and stuff. So it was kind of cool to see it. It's like they got like a museum now, man. It's really cool back there. And, I was just going back, kind of reliving memories, and, hey, that's the red dressing room, last dressing room I was in with Dad and everything, and, yeah, man, it was cool. And I love Gene Watson.
Oh, dude.
Man.
What is it, Change Her Mind?
Yep.
Man, yes, that's a good song. Shit. Dude, first time I heard that, there's a guy that's playing the show today at Live Oak for us, named Blaine Bunning. I had never heard it until we were at an Airbnb one night. It's about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and we probably are up to no good. No. And everybody's just sitting around playing like their favorite all-time songs.
Yeah.
And he plays "Change Her Mind," and I was just like, "How the hell?"
Like, I got a new all-time.
Never heard? And then I had to look the rest of his stuff up, like "Farewell Party" and all stuff. Man, shit, let's go.
Yes, sir. Man, he's one of the originals. And man, hanging around, I was telling him last night, I was like, just hanging around all them, it reminds me of Dad, too, the way Gene is. Just his mannerisms and how they do things at that age and where they're at in life. And, man, it's so similar. Start choking me up a little bit. I'm just like,
You're making me emotionless thinking about it.
Nah, well, it just is what it is. But, and then Gene, man. God, that voice. I don't know how it is. You know, he's almost 80 years old.
I thought he was older than that.
Nah, he's almost 80.
How old would your dad have been?
He's born in 38, so now you're going to make me do math in public. I don't want to do that.
That's fucking a lot.
Yeah, so what, he'd be creeping up, you know, late
85.
Yeah, there.
So they're,
look at you. You graduated.
There you go.
But, yeah, man, so, it was just a good night, man, hanging out. And then we went over to Music City and Bar and Grill there and just hanging out, listening to music and drinking. That's about it.
I love that place. Yeah. We were there Monday night. I know that, like, I'm not knocking the rest of the bars in Nashville, but it's, like, good to go to a country bar and hear country music.
Yep.
Like, you would figure that it'd be that way everywhere you went.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like that shit. And over there, it just seems like they got that nostalgic. When you walk in, it's the only place that actually has, it's got Whitley on the wall, George.
Rodney's got all his favorites up on
the wall. Yeah, man.
Vern Gosman.
Vern?
Yeah.
God, I forget.
Well, Rodney, the owner, he knew Vern, I mean, really, really well, and just adored that man. And that place has got a lot of special memories too.
Yeah.
Man, there's a cool photo circulating around the internet. It's Little Jimmy Dickens, and he's standing by a bar stool, and it's got all in rhinestones. It's Little Jimmy Dickens. It's from Music City because
no
he
shit.
Used to go. Yeah, he in between you know doing their stuff at the Opry, he'd cruise on over, sit there, have a few, head back. You know what I mean? That was also old school the way they used to do things. Now I think it's not in your contract. You're not allowed to do it. It's just the way a lot of these new music groups and stuff are.
Yeah.
You know. But now, man, he'd head on over there, have a few, head on back. That bar stool, I don't know where it's at because it's not there now. I need to ask Rodney about that. But,
I've seen that. I've seen that picture.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. That place is great.
Back in the day, how long were you, I guess, on the road or whatever with your dad for it?
So, first off, it was my summer job every year.
Because you've been in the military for a long time. Like, you're retiring from the military, right?
I'm 19 years, coming up on, up on 20. So, okay. I went in late to the military.
Thank you very much for your service, brother, by the way.
Appreciate it. It's the job. Went in after 9/11 because that pretty much solidified it for me. I was like, nah, we're gonna go do something here. Became a firefighter before that. Anyway, that's going back to Dad. Every summer I was always on the road with Dad, working with him.
As like a teenager?
Yeah, as a teenager.
Oh, I bet it was wild.
It was.
Oh,
Had good times. Dad, it was wild to the extent of as much as I would be wild because Dad was already out. That was after prison.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, Dad was on the straight and narrow, everything else.
That's what I was trying to figure out. If like his wild days coordinated with yours, but he would have been over that by then.
No, I remember stuff from when, elementary school and junior high, and all that kind of jazz, where it was, the house was in turmoil quite a bit. It's a different perspective from the family's point of view.
Oh, right? Georgette totally said the same thing.
Yeah.
When it's your family, it looks cool as hell to everybody else. And I've never thought of that before till she said it to me.
Yeah.
And I was like, shit, I do idolize George for all the crazy shit he did, and Johnny for all the crazy shit he did.
Yep.
But the kids, man.
Yeah, man.
Like, so, growing up in it's got to be so fucking much different.
Yeah, it's living with a drug addict and alcoholic.
Yeah.
That's what it is. You know, and of course we look at that and now we're like, shit, that's not a good thing.
No.
It's like, well, no. But I've had these discussions many times with, I mentioned Jay Andrews, steel player, worked with my dad, and we're real good friends. I've had these discussions with him quite a bit where it's about, man, I wish Dad would have done this, and I wish he would have done that. I wish he wouldn't have done this. You know, his life would have been so much better. He'd have made, more money and so on and so forth, and he'd have been taken care of. And the reality is, and Jay put it pretty poetically, he's like, would we have loved Johnny Paycheck if he wasn't who Johnny Paycheck was? And I'm like, well, I get it. I guess I get it. So it is what it is. That's where we're at. And everybody loves Johnny Paycheck for a lot of the wild stuff he did, man. It just is what it is.
Well, where we're from, I'm the only one from that area. There's a thing that's like a staple, the classic country jukebox. I used to work for this radio station. But on Saturday nights, at 9 o'clock, you're close enough to listen to it. At 9 o'clock every Saturday night for the past 20 something years, they play old violin.
Oh man,
it's like it's a staple. But I think he or anybody else wouldn't have been able to write anything like that if they wouldn't have lived that lifestyle.
Yeah,
I think that had to come hand in hand.
No, most certainly. I mean, when he wrote that song. When he finished it, a little story on that one. When he finished it, he came in and woke my mom up. I woke up. But he woke mom up, and he was like, you got to hear this. And he played it for her, and she's crying. And he woke her up early, and mom was not an early riser.
Yeah.
And she was just like, all she could say then it was like, what do you want to eat? I'll go cook it right now. What do you want? What, you know, it's just, you know, I mean, it was just and it still is such a killer song. And nobody else, I don't care who it is, and I've heard a lot of people try to sing it. Nobody can sing that song like him. It was his song. People have asked me to sing it. I've sang it once or twice, but it's hard for me because that is my dad.
Yeah.
And that was the funeral song for dad and everything else. So, I mean, it's, there's a lot of emotion to that one. But, man, it's a, just a killer song about just being a musician that's gone through everything like that. And then how do you hang it up when you know it's kind of over and you're kind of over, right? So, yeah, man, it's killer.
Man, that is an all-time, like, that is top 10 all-time songs ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just, to know that that's your family, that's your dad.
Yep.
That's got to be insane.
Oh, like, it is. It's 100%. I say that, it is and it isn't, because, you know, here's a good thing people do to me a lot. It's like, what's it like being Johnny Paycheck's son? And I'm like, fuck, do you mean, what do you mean, what's it like? I don't know. I'm just, how am I supposed to answer that? It's like, he was my dad. I don't know anything different.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, what's it like being you?
Yeah.
It's like, well, I don't know. It sucks sometimes, it's good others. What do you mean? What do you mean, what's it like? So, and I know what they mean and what they want to hear. Sometimes I toy with people, just me, but it was a different ride, and the more I look back at it now, too, as I become older, it's like, man, yeah, there was a lot of shit that was really different compared to a lot of other people, especially my age, you know.
We were talking about
it. Grew up on tour buses.
We were talking about the shit that we have normalized because of our home lives, to where when you go around, I grew up in a rough house. Like, I grew up poor house or whatever, like. When I would go to my friend's house, like, their mom and dad wasn't fussing or fighting, their dad didn't have a beer in their hand at 12 o'clock in the afternoon on a Monday, he'd be like, oh, the fuck's going on here? Like, these people would get along?
Is there something wrong?
What's going on? Yeah, like, it just blew my mind that that's what we normalize. But, I mean, you get used to whatever it is, so it's just not that impressive anymore, or it's not, it's like, this is my life.
It just is what it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, yeah. I love it when people are like, oh, you know, and there are some of the kids who were more fortunate than our family, and some of us that weren't as fortunate.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, people will ask questions like, man, but, you know, there's two extremes that they always do with me. It's like, bet you're so wealthy, or, man, I know your dad died with no money, and I'm like, well, that's not true, and this isn't true either.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's not how it was. And it was a roller coaster ride because, yes, we all know who Johnny Paycheck was to a degree. A lot of people don't know who he was off of stage. But, yeah, it was feast or famine. It was always feast or famine with him because he would just make these interesting decisions and roll with it. And it would be like, hey, I'm going to sell all the rights to this and get that money for now to be able to do this. He had a plan, and plans weren't wrong. They just
didn't
sometimes worked and sometimes it didn't. So yeah, we would. It was most rough when he was in prison.
Yeah,
that was not an awesome time, but not a terrible time either. Hell, that's when I learned to do a lot of my hunting and fishing.
Yeah,
that's when I did a lot of that because hell, we didn't have no money to do nothing else. So there was that. You know, I mean, and then there were times where it was. We were just high on the hog.
Yeah.
Had, you know, whatever you could want as a kid and then lose it like that because we'd move. I was mentioning that. We moved around quite a bit. We left stuff behind, you know, or stuff got stolen or whatever. But it was a weird childhood, really, when I look back at it. And I look at how I raised I got three girls.
Yeah.
And how I raised them, I'm like, man, I've really tried to smooth it out for you guys.
Dude, I
say
that shit.
You're compared to me.
I tell my kid every day, I tell Gracie every single, the name of my studio and everything is Raising Grace Studios.
Okay.
And it says Raising Grace, but it's also somewhere between Raising Hell and Amazing Grace.
Yeah, okay.
So, like, I tell her every day, it's like, you little shit, you don't realize how lucky you've got it.
Or how hard you've worked
to
get where you're at.
Yeah, like, you're a spoiled little shit. Yep. Like, you better, I remember one time, like, she didn't like bologna. We were talking about bologna a while ago because we want to go to Roberts and get one of those damn sandwiches later.
Yes, sir.
So good. But I made her eat a bologna sandwich one time. And it's like, she's like, I'm not eating that. That's poor meat. And like, and my dog, oh, yeah. I was like, bitch, I don't know who you think you are. You will eat bologna.
Like, there is a mistake.
Yeah.
Right
she,
now.
And, yeah.
It ain't me.
The thing is, she's got the same personality as I do. So every time her little smart ass says something, it's like, I get it, but I want to punch you in the face still.
I understand.
But second she bit into the bologna dough, she's like, okay, this shit's good. Like, yeah, this is good. But yeah, this, I can only imagine having to be on the move all the time. How crazy. Did any of that get you into wanting to be a musician? I know.
No.
So how did that come about? Did it deter you from wanting to be a musician then?
It did, to a degree. What really deterred me was mom and dad.
Yeah.
Because I'd first treaded the waters a little bit with music, and I was like, man, I think I want to do that. And dad was like, absolutely not. He's like, this business is so terrible. He's like, do it for fun. He's like, if you really want to, sure, come along. But yeah, and then mama was like, absolutely not. You're not going to do this.
Yeah.
And I'm a kid, so I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'm not going to do that. I was like, what about sound engineer? And they were like, ah, sound engineers, blah, 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 blah. I was like, all right, well, I guess I'm not doing that. What the hell, man? So I ended up kind of breaking even with him. I was like, well, I'm still going to school for music. I'm going to go to school for music. And what happened with that was I just got burnt out because I practicing all the time and never having as much fun as I know it could be because I was getting ready for, like, auditioning for colleges and all that. And I got into a couple colleges in Ohio and everything and was like, man, I think maybe this is what I want to do. And then I just, like I said, burned out. And then I went to school for computers. Went to school for computer engineering and did that. Dropped out to be able to go work with dad on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And because dad was getting up in years. He was having a hard time carrying oxygen tanks and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, I need to take care of dad. So I went out there and did that. And then, yeah, one thing led to another. And I'd play here or there just for fun and kept up with it. And yeah, just ended up that, like, it was COVID. No, it wasn't COVID. It was just before COVID. We had decided, so, you know, I think I want to do this in my retirement.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to get out of the Army. It's like, I'm going to go back to doing this. Because mom, really mom is the one who stopped me.
Yeah.
Because she just didn't want to see me go through everything dad went through.
Yeah.
Mom has a whole lot of hate for Nashville.
I bet. So, shit.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, I was like, well, we'll check it out. And I brought her that first album that I did. And she's like, man, that's really good. That I said the other. I'm glad you're doing this. And I was like, well, shit. What do you mean? Now you're glad I'm doing this? What the heck, man? I was like, I could have been doing this the whole time. And she's like, well, yeah, you know. And I was like, all right, whatever. Yeah, thanks. But, yeah, no, it just
kinda, so you've only been pushing the music thing now for, what, 3 years?
Yeah, we played a few gigs just as COVID was hitting. We were starting to get ramped up to do it. And then COVID, of course, screwed everything up. And, yeah, this is...
I guess now that you're retiring, though, you're going to really go balls to the wall with it?
Yes. So I have... I've got two jobs, really.
Yeah.
I've got my... I'm in the reserve side now for the military, and then I work for a government DOD agency in D.C. full-time, which I'm done with that October 6th. And then,
are aliens real?
Say again?
I said, are aliens real then?
Maybe. I don't know.
Man, come on. If you're in D.C. and you're working around military shit, you know if aliens are real.
I don't know, man. I've heard a lot of stories. I don't know.
Okay, back to your stuff. Back to your stuff. I like aliens.
So there was a whole Congress set up a whole budget funding to figure out what some of the objects are.
I think it's because they can't hide it no more.
I personally think it's because somebody else is messing with us and trying to make us divert dollars towards that, just like we did with during the Cold War with missiles. That's what I believe. I don't know. It's my opinion.
You just gave us inside information.
No, not at all. that takes away a lot of the fun of it, though. So I don't know. But there's some weird stuff, man.
There to be little green men so fucking.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff. You see it out on the internet, man. I don't know. There's a lot of weird stuff.
I just want it because I want to make all the people from this all these uppity ass people that have always been like, we're the only life. Like, there's nothing out there more than us or whatever. I just want to be like, gotcha, bitch.
That just can't
be. Like, that's, yeah.
That can't be because there's freaking universe is how huge, man.
Dude, the thing that Netflix has put out, where they sent, what is it? It's a satellite, but it's got something on it. This telescope.
A Voyager? It's Voyager 2 that's out there.
I can't remember what it is. But it's like, it's the first one that does infrared readings of, of space or whatever. And it is insane.
It is.
And then when they explain to you, they're like, it's 250 million light years away or some shit. And I'm seeing a picture of it. Like, it's literally, that's the past. That's history.
Yes, and you can't even, you just can't even fathom it, really. It. Yeah.
It's fucking insane.
No, my brain's too small for that. But it's not, it could be, who knows, right? There's got to be something else out there. If we're the only thing,
and they're listening to Johnny Paycheck somewhere else, they're seeing videos of your dad, and they're like,
"Because of all our broadcasts going out, probably."
Yeah, we're going to Earth. We're partying with those guys.
It might be, but wouldn't that be amazing?
Yeah,
aliens.
It would make sense.
Come here with cowboy hats on. They're like, "We want to see your culture."
Yeah, like, you can see plenty of aliens in downtown Nashville right now.
You can see a lot of them down there right now. They're probably there. They're there already.
See a lot of aliens in cowboy hats.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm saying. Oh, shit. There's a lot of them to look. Everybody. This but show's not about that.
Yeah. We've gone, I don't know where we're at
now. Oh, we always get weird.
No, yeah, I was, they always go there.
So, like, one of the things that I wanted to ask you about is when I did a show with Keith Whitley's son.
Okay.
Jesse.
Yeah, I know Jesse.
He was telling me about, like, they had home videos and other stuff or whatever and stuff that nobody's ever heard or anything like that. It's just for the family.
Yep.
Like, they'll never release anything like that. It's just this special thing. So do y'all have that kind of stuff with?
I have boxes of stuff.
Really?
Yeah. Now, not there's not a lot of like vaulted music or anything like that, but like family stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got. I've got books full of pictures and stuff. Some of it I've debated. Here in the next year, I've debated putting out a book about dad,
yeah,
just his life story. Problem is, I don't know how many people are going to really be happy with it because it takes away some of the folklore.
Yeah, I think
I don't know.
Though after the Tales from the Tour Bus thing, I think you probably do need to counteract.
Set it a little straight.
Yeah, to set the record straight a little bit.
Make the arrow a little straighter.
Well, it kind of blew me away when like Georgette was telling me just how wrong they did George.
Oh, yeah.
And you said the same thing, though. Oh, yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Adam's boys just made up stuff. And then when people here in Nashville that they had talked to were like, no, we can give you legit stories on Johnny. You know, we worked with him, this and the other. And they weren't interested. They wanted to sensationalize it and make it whatever they made it into. So.
Well, I think that's how a lot of people, as sad as it is, especially the younger generation, I think that's what they know of your dad now.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah. They know the character. And it's hard to combat that because, I mean, people dig that.
Yeah.
They do. If dad was more like, Gene Autry, I don't know how.
I don't know a Gene Autry story. But I can tell you 10 Johnny Paycheck ones.
Yeah, there you go. See? No. And, yeah, it's just is what it is. But it would be nice to put story out there to show, you know, where he came up from and what his life was like. Granted, there is a lot to it that it just was dad. I mean,
yeah,
running away from home so often, you know, how he was kicked out of the friggin' Navy, you know, and all that stuff.
Kicked out of the Navy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was not in the Navy very long. He did not do well, obviously, with authority.
That's what I was just going to ask you. It doesn't seem like he's the guy to take orders.
Yeah, not as well. And he struck an officer. I am an officer in the Army, so it's like, really? Really, Dad? But, yeah, he struck an officer who was, you know, telling him what he needed to do, and he wasn't digging it. And when he hit him, the way I remember the story was he hit him and he fell over the deck of the ship.
Mm-hmm.
So he thought, oh, crap, I've done killed this guy. There's netting all the way around him when they're in
port. Oh, yeah.
So he was fine. But, you know, angry as piss and vinegar, I'm sure. And, they ended up throwing him in the brig. And he escaped like 2 or 3 times. And the Navy was finally at the end of it.
He's so cool to me.
The Navy at the end of it was finally just like, you know what? Just don't come back. Here's your discharge. So he's got a dishonorable discharge. I got his discharge papers somewhere. But yeah, I mean, he was dishonorably discharged because of that. So, I mean, it's not like it was, like, especially, like, well, I won't get into that, but it's not like it was that bad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Really, when you really look at it, it's like, man, he just screamed, he knocked that guy on his ass, and then he just didn't want to stay put. So, you know, yeah. But you earn yourself a dishonorable for that. And that's just so you won't get your retirement or anything like
Dang
that.
Damn. So, how long was he in?
He was only in for, I want to say it was like a year or two. Maybe a year. Not very long, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. And he was up in up on the lakes, up on the Great Lakes, up there.
Who was, like, for you coming up, who was, like, the people that you were just in awe that you were around because of your dad? Was there any of those?
So, I wasn't in awe of any of the greats.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. Because they were all just people to me, right? And they were, good example. When I was in junior high, I think it was junior high, we went to, it was up by Kings Island in Ohio, and the Highwaymen were playing. And Dad was on the road, Mom was like, I'm going to go see, Willie and them and hang out. And Dad was like, all right, cool, I'll call over. That was always how it was back then. And me and my buddy Scott, who was actually my co-writer, Scott Gabby, he's like, man, they're going to Kings Island. That's what entered our heads. We were like, rides. At a theme park, not Johnny Cash, Kris Kristofferson, Willie. It's like that didn't in Wayland. That didn't enter our minds. Like, oh, that's what's really cool. No, I was like, man, we're gonna go ride rides. So we went, and I'm doing the thing like a kid would do. It's like my mom's, hey, say hi to Mr. Jennings. I'm like, hey, Mr. Jennings. And that's how it was. It was your neighbor's friends.
Yeah.
And then I was like, bugging her, she's wanting to stay and talk and bullshit with them. And me and my buddy Scott are like, can we go? Man, I don't want to stay around all these old people. And off we went. Now I look back and I'm like, stupid. Why didn't I sit there and absorb that and learn and everything else? It was just the way it was. So growing up, when I really started looking at music more, it's more like people that some may not find, that interesting.
Yeah.
Which I liked, Clint Black and George Strait, and which Dad was not a huge fan of him because he was a good looking guy, all the women liked him, and he was like, that's the only reason they like him. I think that was more a little bit of jealousy because George Strait was doing really good at the time. But anyway, with his hits. It was people like that. And then the older I've gotten, I've gone back and I've been like, man, Jesus, Waylon really had a lot of, a lot of interesting things that he did musically.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, I wish I would have paid attention more, but I didn't. And then Dad too. Man, I took about like 3 years just researching my dad as a musician and not as Dad.
Mm-hmm.
Or this person I was angry at as a kid. Man, it's just...
It's insane what he's...
It's hard to understand how he did some of the things he did with his voice. And then just the magic he could create in a room when he would sing anything. It didn't matter what it was. It just did not matter. He could sing Mary Had a Little Lamb and you would just be in awe of him.
Mm-hmm.
Other musicians, back in the 60s when he came to town and he was a session guy. Right? So he would go and he would do backup vocals. He'd play whatever instrument he could, muster up at the time. And mainly, he'd play bass guitar and guitar and stuff like that. He wasn't a great guitar player. But he could sing like nobody's business, and he could match harmonies. He could mimic, like a mockingbird, man. He could mimic how another artist sound and then do their harmony. So everybody, when he was in town, everybody would get angry because they're like, man, will Paycheck just leave and go on the road for a little while so we can get some work, in the studios, right? Because a lot of session gigs were part-time for them, and then playing on the road was the other thing.
Didn't he go out with George for a while? Didn't he play something for George's band?
He was a Cherokee cowboy for Ray Price. Yeah. He was a Jones boy for George. Him and George were really pretty longtime friends. I've been around George Jones a lot when I was a kid. And another slow-talking grandpa. But I know all these slow-talking Southern people. Anyway, George was doing pretty good at the time. He was doing real good at the time, actually. And Dad ended up being his bass player. And... the only problem with that whole situation was, one, they were kind of alike on certain things, and Dad was a ham when it came. Man, there's a really good video out there on the internet where George and Dad are singing, and he's his lead man on the bass, and he'll lean in to that camera, and he's smiling real big. And I'm like, oh my God, this ham, man. But you could just tell he was oozing stage presence.
Yeah.
He wasn't a straight man like the rest of everybody in the band, which nothing wrong with that. Everybody got their place in the parade, right?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, he was just oozing friggin', you know, showmanship and just eating it up. And George is pretty straight laced, you know, back then. And then he got more presence, I would say. But yeah, no, good story about where, which this one gets told quite a bit, but where they were coming back from a gig and Dad and George were fussing and fighting about something in this. They were driving like a station wagon.
I bet they argued like hell when they did.
Yeah. I know there was a couple times at least. But Dad's, you know, he's like, finally had enough of his shit. I think it was after a night where George had left him out on stage and wouldn't come out. He's over on the side just messing with him. And these people are about there to eat him up. And Dad's just like, keeping it going. And he's like, the fucker, get out here. And he's toying with him, right? But who knows how that started. Anyway, so they're in that station wagon heading down the road, middle of the night, he pulls over, he's like, fine, let's do it. They're ready to fight. Dad was not a bad fighter. He jumps out, and George slams the door, pulls off, leaves him in the middle of freaking nowhere. And he eventually caught up with him. But yeah, that's the kind of BS that, you know, used to go on. And camaraderie was built on that, man.
Oh, we fuck with each other. Our group, we are rough on one another. You would think we hated each other.
Mm-hmm.
It builds you. I mean, that's how I think we all express that we love each other. It's true, giving each other shit.
It's just like in the service or anywhere else, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, no, George and him were really good friends. And yeah.
Was there anybody that when you saw your dad around, you were like, fuck. Like, this is going to be a rough couple days.
Well, the only person I can really think of that... It wasn't... Dad was always the kind of person that was... Everybody got along with him,
mm-hmm.
you know, for the most part. And he was likable. He was a likable guy, right? So, oh, man. I don't know. I mean, when he was... Before I was out on the road and all that kind of stuff,
with him,
just a kid. I mean, yeah, there would be people that would key him up, and he'd be you know, coked up or whatever, and that was not the time to do that because he'd be ready to throw down. But I honestly
just didn't know. Like,
I can't really think of somebody. Other than now, I don't know if I say it, but I will.
You can.
David Allan Coe.
Yeah, I got your dad and Coe and George on right now.
Every once in a while. Like, they got along, and but I think it was just there was just too much on both of their parts, too much ego in the room. That would key him up a little bit every once in a while. Especially, this is a thing. It's like, this is a business thing, too.
Yeah.
Showing up to a show unannounced, a lot of people don't like that because they got a rhythm to how their show goes, and this is what I'm doing, and like, you just want to come up on stage and sing and stuff like that. That can make somebody a little bit of the red ass.
Right? I've seen it.
So I've seen
that a lot.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. Maybe that, but no, not for the most part. Even David and Dad got along pretty well too. So.
David is like, it's one of my dream shows, mm-hmm. and he's not far from where I'm at, but I want to do it with him to where we're just sitting there. And he's completely comfortable. I've been around him before.
Yeah.
He's not the nicest person at all.
He can be a little harsh.
Yeah, like. But I like that he's just blunt
the
way he is or whatever.
Yep.
I don't know if you ever seen the interview with him that's out there. I will show it to all y'all if you hadn't. Where David Allan Coe is like, if he would have said this shit in this day and age, I would have never.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, but he's just like, you got to, if she ain't going to act right, you make her act right. And the lady interviewing him was like, what do you mean by that, David? He's like, she don't do what she told, I'm going to knock the shit out of her.
Yep.
Like, God damn, David.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Like.
Well, but the thing is, that's part of the problem, though, because, man, it's hard to make a living when you start alienating people. And they know when you show up, it's like, it's going to be a circus. It's going to be hard to deal with. It's like, am I, is the money I'm going to make off the bar tonight really worth this? You know, because then I got to repair the bar. You know, so, I mean, there's a little bit of that. It makes
you,
it hard.
You seem, and I mean this with respect, like straight-laced. You're a pretty, like, even-keeled person. When you are trying to play a show or talk to somebody about doing, do they expect you to...
Everybody I've killed has been Taliban, so we're good.
Okay, good. Do they... do the people, when they're booking you or reaching out to you, do they expect you to be like your dad?
Oh, boy. Yeah, oh boy, that's a touchy one, man. You throwing that out?
It just
a touchy one for me. But what I'm trying to say is, yes, they do expect me to be. Great story.
Okay.
Yeah, see, you good.
I get paid for this, bro.
Well, not a great story. It's an all right story, right? So
think about it, the story, you know.
When I started coming back to Nashville, right? Because I had wrote it all off too. After Dad passed, I was pretty. Mom had influenced it.
What year did he pass?
2003.
Okay.
So Mom had kind of influenced it too. And the fact that I just saw how the industry did Dad, and I was irritated. And I was like, you know what? Screw all this, man. I don't want to be a part of it. And I was a road manager for Dad too. And I saw a lot of shadiness there too. And I was like, I don't need this shit. So I'm out. But when I came back, I was like, man, maybe there's a place for me. Maybe not. We'll see. And everybody who had who didn't know me, which was the majority of people, because I just hadn't been around. Everybody I knew was either passed away or whatever, right? So the ones that I did start meeting, they were like, man, they get to talking with me a little bit, and they're like, you're not at all what we thought you would be.
Yeah.
And I was like, what do you mean? You didn't think you'd be a Black Hawk pilot? And they're like, well, no. Man, you're Johnny Paycheck's kid. We figured you'd just be a train wreck. I'm like, well, fair enough. I'm not, but... appreciate it. Thanks for the vote of confidence. But you know what I mean? It's like,
I completely get it. Yeah.
And I mean, I can't knock them for that, but it makes it hard. It makes it real hard when you go, hey, John Paycheck, yeah, Johnny Paycheck's son, we're looking at booking gigs, this, that, and the other. And I'm like, yeah, we've dealt with other entertainers' kids, or we've this, or you're Johnny Paycheck's kid, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, well, how about. Let's just give me a shot here, and we'll check it out and see what you think. And I haven't disappointed anybody yet.
Yeah.
Yet, I'm sure I'll disappoint somebody. That's just the way the world is. But no, man, it's like, I didn't. I saw how all that stuff affected my household when I was a kid, and I was like, you know, I'm not interested in that. I don't want to live like that. So
I got a lot of respect for that. That's how
I had a hard time a little bit with alcohol here and there because of the military and. Just some of the stuff in firefighting too, with how we bond and then how we deal with things sometimes. But yeah, and nothing. Never had to go to AA or nothing like that. Just take care of myself.
I probably should have a couple times.
Fair enough.
But no, that's cool. I'm glad that you're different. I'm glad like there was already one him. Now be one you.
Yeah. You know. And I'm not like. Don't get me wrong. I ain't a saint. And I'm not like you know. Holy roller that, you know, we got to wear off alcohol and all that kind of stuff. That ain't me either.
Yeah, we don't drink or do drugs around
here. Not at all. So, but yeah, man.
Boy, you lie.
What? Hey, y'all, I got to take a piss. Y'all want to take a break real fast? There we go. All right, we're back. So, what do you got coming up then? Like, where are you doing some shows at? And, you know, where can people find you right now?
Well, right now, it's at this very moment, it's... all in the ethers. It's in the internet.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, we've got first album out. Getting ready to release the next one here in the fall. So we'll have songs coming out every month for you know about a year I guess or however we're gonna do it. And then the CDs are for sale and all that kind of stuff too. For those who buy CDs, by the way, because of the name, it seems like I got a more senior crowd that likes a lot of what I do too. Man, it might go with the sound too, maybe. I don't know. But yeah, so people buy CDs.
Yeah.
Which kind of baffled me at first. I was just like, people are still buying CDs. Okay. Well, fair enough. We'll make some up. So, and they're good for like today, you know.
Yeah.
Like, hey, man, here's a CD coming in. I know there'd be so many of you. Fuck, I could have brought more. I'm outnumbered. Touring is going to happen in 2024.
Okay.
Like I said, we kind of lost our rhythm with the COVID, and then got a day job and everything else, but day job, getting rid of it, and going just straight to trying to see what we can do, see if people are interested in what they like, and I think they will be. We got a pretty good show put together, and
I think a lot of people, I think a lot of like the authentic country music fans will be interested in it. Mm-hmm. They'll want to know.
Yeah.
I mean, because of the name to start off with, but hopefully that's what draws people in, and they get to know you and like your stuff.
Yeah, it's a mixture of, I would say it's a mixture of like the Ned Ledoux crowd, and then a mixture of the Appalachian crowd, and the honky-tonks. It's like all that, there's something that appeals to each one, it seems like, with what I do.
Yeah.
And people seem to like it. You know, it's kind of one of those things, if any musician that tells you, any singer, artist that tells you, oh no, I know why my fans like me. It's like, you're a liar. No. There's no way, man. You have no idea why people like you. It's like, they like you for you, but you don't really know. It's like, well, hell, I'll guarantee you, if I asked you, it's like, why do people like you? You'd be like, I don't know. I guess I'm a nice guy.
I would have to find one to do it first.
We don't fucking like him.
Sometimes you got to look through a big Rolodex, but, you know.
We love him.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, see, there you go.
Yeah, I'm not an easy person to like, but I'm an easy person to love.
Well, there, that's fair enough. But you know what I mean? It's like, you don't really know. And you don't know when you put music out if who's going to like it and if they're going to like it and why. Dad in a million, we're going back to Dad for a second, but Dad for a million in years, he loved, he liked Someone to Give My Love To, that song. He liked, there's a handful of songs that he really liked, right?
Yeah.
Waltz of the Angels is another good one. But, like, those songs didn't climb like Shove It.
Yeah.
And Shove It was simple. It really is a simple song. And he's just like, I have no idea. I mean, it hit at the right time, the right thing.
That's my least, grateful for it. That's probably, like, my least favorite of his songs.
Yes, man. He's got a huge and amazing catalog that people don't... It seems like a lot of people don't dive into. And they just don't know what's there, maybe. I don't know.
Dude, I'm telling you, he's one of those that... He was kind of like Willie Nelson to me. Mm-hmm. I didn't appreciate Paycheck's catalog until later on in life. Like, I'm 35. Yep. So probably about 28, 27 when I started really listening to what the songs were and not just the song.
Yep.
Yeah, Paycheck, it don't get no better.
Dude, like, he has some awesome
That song,
stuff.
When the good Lord calls me home, everybody's going to cry their ass off at my funeral to Outlaw's Prayer. That might be the only damn thing that gets played during the whole service. I love that song and what it stands for.
Yes.
You will hear me drunk as shit on a dirt road in South Georgia at 4 o'clock in the morning. That song is one of the ones you're going to hear coming out of my truck.
It's a good one. It is a real good one, man. And the way he tells a story and can sing that song, it's again, it's magic. It's all magic.
Him and Conway are the only two that can talk through a song and make it sound that good.
Conway, that's a whole different magic, man. He talks, knocking Dad, but man, I like the way Conway can tell a story.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Those two are.
Yeah, but anyway, so yeah, back to my stuff. 2024, we're looking at hitting it pretty hard, probably through starting in June, I think. I'm gonna reserve May mainly to Virginia, where I'm living now, and we'll get amped up there with the band and get things going again, and head back out until somewhere late in the fall. Because
cool.
My policy is gonna be to make sure that I take off during the holiday seasons and everything else, because I remember being a kid and Dad was always on the road. Mm-hmm. May not make it home for the holidays, things like that. Nah, I ain't doing that to my kids. I didn't do it. I've only done it during deployments for the military, and I won't do it any other reason. So, yeah.
I like that about you. Like, I grew up in a house to where my sister took what my mom and dad did as an excuse to do it, and I wanted to be the complete opposite. So it made me a much better dad, a much better in a lot of things in life.
Yeah.
So I think that's what, like, you've took the bad that happened and turned it into, I know not to do this with my kids.
And I don't blame, like, Dad or Mom or any of that stuff for any of the past and or how they did things, because, I mean, that's just what they knew.
Yeah.
And then, you know.
It was a different world then,
dude. I do not agree with the, well, I did my best. Like, when I hear that phrase come out of
anybody's
mouth, I'm like, that's like a parent. I'm just like, motherfucker, what do you mean you did your best? Start with me. I'm like, I ain't hearing that.
Oh, we both got daddy issues. I'm the same way.
Man, did my best. I was like, well, okay.
Don't tell me just because you paid the bills you love me.
Dad, well, I'm going to throw it. Anyway, okay. So, that's the truth.
Well, you can tell we got some trouble.
It just is what it is. But no, I mean, no. And then, like, touring-wise, I'm trying to get more out west. And they really like the music out in Texas. So,
if they like
and that's
in Texas,
hard one.
You'll make it somewhere.
Well, it's a hard one, too, because, you know, if you're not a Texas artist, it can be difficult trying to get gigs in Texas. But I've got a lot of Texas connections, and they seem to like it, and we'll probably be playing there quite a bit, too. So, but if I'm going there, I got to swing through, come back up. So, yeah.
Do you pretty much write all your stuff?
Yes. All my music is written by me or with a co-writer. And I only use one co-writer mainly. So Scott Gabby, I write with him. He's an unknown. He's just a friend of mine that we've known each other since we were kids.
You need to write one with all of us. That'd be so
cool.
Write
one with all y'all?
Yeah, that'd be so cool to write one with you.
Well, I'm in. So, we can try it.
It will be fun. It's a fun experience.
You know what? I got one that I think will definitely appeal to you. You know, oh, shit. I think I need you. Man, I just thought about this. He might be really good for, I got a song called Wild Man of Music Row.
Okay.
That I'm going to put out this coming up. And it's basically, remember Teen Wolf?
Yeah.
Think about.
I don't know if I like where this is going. I was in it for a second.
There's a werewolf.
And I was like, what the fuck did he just call me?
There's like a monster werewolf guy stealing beers and women on Music Row.
That's pretty much
what this song is in a nutshell.
I'll do
it. And it's a ton of fun. And I was like, well, I guess I could be the werewolf. And I'm like, huh.
I'll be the werewolf.
It might be interesting. Or maybe just one of the werewolf buddies in it. I don't know. Yeah, y'all got beers. I'm the only one got a beard.
He don't count.
Nah, fair enough.
He can't grow one yet.
But no.
He's 17.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
He can't grow one yet.
Well, there we go. That's fair. It's coming. It'll happen. Don't worry.
He's just gonna buckle it all up at the bottom so it looks like.
I want to say something so bad, but I ain't gonna say it.
Bob would probably like it.
I ain't gonna say it.
Don't fuck around and find out. You don't want this heat today. You don't want this heat today, boy.
So anyway, but yeah, man. So touring next year. We'll see how it goes. It should be good. And then it's kind of this whole thing has been kind of this 5-year project. It's going to go longer than that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll just keep doing it until the wheels fall off, I guess.
That's cool, dude. I know that all of us will look forward to it. Anytime you got something coming out to you, you'll have to let me know.
Okay.
And we can help you with the release stuff on it. That's kind of what we do with anybody that runs with us.
Yeah.
It's like we got people that's got big social media followings. And we mix them with the artists and shit that we do everything with. That way it's...
That's cool.
Yeah. Well, man. It's I'm picky about the people that I have on the show. Like, especially when it comes to country.
Are you picking me off? Is that what happened?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
It's, you call me a fucking werewolf. So I'm picky about who I have on because I don't like the bullshit side of country, right?
Yeah, yeah,
or just music in general.
Oh, yeah.
So... I only put people on that I really think are country. Like, they are the real deal. Like, they're not pieces of shit. They're a good person, put out good music and everything. And so, like, I miss the bus on a lot of people because I just don't want to have them on because of who they are.
Okay.
Like, because you got a million views on a song, don't make it a good song.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want the people, you go to our writers round tonight, you go to Skinny's last night, or... anything with Ray's Rowdy, you're going to hear storytelling and songs that you're like, why the hell is this not out yet?
Yeah.
So that's the kind of shit that I put out because everybody else that does this, they really want to wait till somebody blows up or they don't care about their story.
Yeah.
Like, we try to get there in the beginning, and everybody needs a little help in the beginning, you know?
Oh, yeah, 100%, man. And there's a ton of really good artists out there.
No, dude.
There's a ton of great independent artists that just, man, it's hard to, promotion is the hardest thing.
Yeah.
It's harder, I think, it's harder than writing songs and it's harder than performing. It's almost impossible, especially if you don't have money backing you.
There's not a matrix to it. Like,
no.
You could put all the time and effort into a marketing campaign for somebody that could write the best song that you've ever heard.
Yep.
And if you don't do it the right way, the right time, with the right hashtag or some bullshit, nobody sees it. And it's trash that it's like that.
Yeah.
It is just trash.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely different now, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the hashtag thing. I can just see Dad be like, hashtag?
We joke about
it. I like hash browns. What? No.
We joke about this all the time that your dad is usually one of the ones I say when I say this. And George, like, if social media would have been around back then, they'd have been career over with in a day.
Could you imagine the videos that would surface from like the late nights? With
oh, man.
It would be insane.
There'd be a lot of guns waiting at the door. Like, I need to see your phone. You know, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, it would not fly at all.
It was sad to me is this day and age in Nashville. I don't even know if they'd have locked your dad. I don't know. And that's shitty.
That voice is so golden, though. Man, I tell you, I don't know.
I would hope and pray they would.
Now, once it got a little pepper in him and he was irritated. Maybe then, yeah, it might have been over. But yeah, but boy, you know, and man, yeah. Well,
anyway, well, dude, I appreciate you coming to hang out with us today and everything, sure, and best of luck to you with the stuff you got going forward.
Yeah, sure.
And if you want to write a song, you want to hang out some more, you're more than welcome.
Sounds good.
So, man, I appreciate it. And, boys, thank y'all for hanging out for a little bit. But you want to drop your social media stuff real fast before we get off here?
Sure.
That way they can go look you up and find you?
Yeah. Just John Paycheck, J-O-H-N, johnpaycheck.com. That's the website. And then you can find me on Instagram and on all the social media fronts. And, of course, Spotify. Just looking for John Paycheck. Sometimes when you search for me, you got to put it in the quotes because you'll just come up with all dad stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm starting to outpace him a little bit now, only because of the way the algorithms work.
Yeah.
So you can actually find me. But yeah, yep. That's pretty much it.
Well, cool. Well, you boys got anything I want to say to him before we get off here? No? Okay, good.
All right.
Carter confused me. All right. Well, man, I appreciate it. And thank each and every one of y'all for listening to the Josh Terry Podcast. We will holler at you later.